I have been thinking a lot because of being so sick for so bloody long. I've been thinking a lot about the whole notion we talk about more in Jungian psychology than we do in yoga, of descent and these cycles of descent that we go through in our journey. Certainly this illness that I have been limping my way through has been a pretty profound physical descent that has literally, I mean, that saying brings, you know, it brought me to my knees. And if that's not descent, I don't know what is. And there's a wonderful line in yoga, wherever, you know, where they say, when you come before the Lord, you must remove your turban, which is the same notion as in, you know, the myth of Inanna that we've talked about, where she has to go down through the seven gates and remove another article of her clothing and her jewelry. So she arrives in the underworld naked and bowed low, which is the same, as far as I'm concerned, of being brought to my knees. And, you know, for me, who tends to be a pretty active person and pretty much of a night owl, who also gets up early and just whatever, like this illness, I have needed so much sleep. It's been startling. And there's been nothing to do but surrender, right? And surrender is another act of being brought to our knees, right? The only way we can surrender is get out of our head and collapse into what we might call an embrace of whatever is arising, whether we like it or not. And the thing about descent that I think is so interesting is when we're in descent, although the ego and our various character structures may try really hard to operate, they can't quite get the same hold on us they get when we're in more of a above ground state. Because when we're in the above ground state, we're more relational. And so all of those faculties of wanting to look good, or wanting to achieve, or just wanting to be with the program, or just all the ego story maker games that we play, that can grab hold a lot more. When we're in descent, when we're in the underworld, when we're in that realm where we're just being beaten to a pulp, it's harder for those ego structures to grab onto anything. There's just not as much glue available as there is. It's kind of mysterious. One would think it would be the other way around, but I think certainly from the Jungian perspective, we make the descent, we have to go down to the underworld in order to be brought naked and bowed low so we can be beaten down into a truer version of ourself. And hopefully when we come back up again, we'll leave at least one iota of the excess baggage that we were carrying during that particular descent. So I've been thinking a lot about this, obviously, because I've been, and again, although for me, sometimes descent can have a kind of a you know, a real despair experience going along with it. This hasn't been despairing for me, it's just been complete and total physical collapse. And having to surrender to not being able to do anything. At one point, Kobe said to me, you know, all I've been doing is reading and watching movies. And it's so not how I spend my time. And she said, I think you're probably sick because you're spending so much time in front of the TV set. And on some level, it was true, except I couldn't do anything else. It was just like nothing in me could do anything after I had done something except collapse on the couch. Anyway, thank God for fiction and great series television and all movies. I don't know what I would have done. Which of course was a distraction from the descent I was in. But I've never been a big believer in being such an ascetic that we don't do anything to distract ourselves. Because when we're in descent, we're being worked on anyway. So we might as well enjoy it. I mean, we're going to be beaten to a pulp. May as well read a good book while we're at it. So I was thinking about all this tonight, and then I went to look for And that sort of got me thinking about Kali, because again, the Kali work, I think next week we'll start more of a Kali work cycle. But because I associate Kali, the dark goddess, which again, remember, if Kali is about cutting away the ties that bind us, if Kali is about creating an interior atmosphere that is pervaded by truth, then Kali is very much that energy field that beats down or cuts away all the stuff that actually weighs us down, right? So Kali and descent, I mean, the descent paradigm comes from, you know, as most of you know, the Sumerian myth of Inanna and her descent to the underworld to pay homage to her sister Ereshkigal, who is the dark goddess of the queen of the underworld. But Kali and Ereshkigal obviously are sister archetypes, the same, really the same, because their job is to destroy everything within us that's not of the self, to put it in the language of yoga. So I've been thinking about all these things, and so I was just looking at my books. I wasn't sure what I wanted to read tonight, if I wanted to read anything, and I just was drawn to this Bhagavad Gita, Stephen Mitchell's translation of the Bhagavad Gita, which I love his translation better than any other I've ever seen. And I just opened it up at random, as I am wont to do, and I opened to chapter 2, which is the practice of yoga. And we have, for years, read the commentary on Bhagavad Gita by the poet Saint Yaneshwar and his commentary on this chapter on steady wisdom, right? Sthita Prajna, we've talked about it for years. In Mitchell's translation, he refers to steady wisdom as firm wisdom. I actually prefer steady wisdom, but I'll take everything else in this translation. So this is the chapter where Arjuna has had his breakdown on the battlefield. He's in this war, he's got to kill his uncles and his teachers. They happen to be the other side. And he's basically having a total nervous breakdown on the field. And Krishna, who happens to be driving the chariot, which obviously is a metaphor of the self, which is what's really driving our chariot, right? Arjuna is the mind creating drama where none actually exists. And so this is the teaching that Krishna gives to Arjuna. So I want to get to the part where he's really talking about steady wisdom. So I think I'm going to skip over. Well, I'll read a little bit because it's so wonderful. So basically, Arjuna, again, he's having a meltdown, otherwise known as descent. And he basically says, I am weighed down by pity, Krishna. My mind is utterly confused. Tell me where my duty lies, which path I should take, blah, blah, blah. You know, I will not fight. As Arjuna sat there downcast between the two armies, Krishna smiled at him and spoke these words. He says, although you mean well, Arjuna, your sorrow is sheer delusion. And that is, if ever there was a Kali, just like, what is he saying? He's just saying, wake up, you idiot. Like, get with the program. You're a warrior. This is what you do. Although you mean well, Arjuna, your sorrow is sheer delusion. How many people have you had conversations with that you wish you could talk to that way? You know, of course we never can because we have to always be so appropriate. But yes, your sorrow is sheer delusion. Wise men do not grieve for the dead or for the living. And then he goes on to blah, 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 go on about the self. We needn't go here. So, okay, so finally we get to, now hear the wisdom of yoga. Armed with this understanding, you will shatter your karmic bonds. On this path, no effort is wasted, no gain is ever reversed. Even a little of this practice will shelter you from great sorrow. Foolish men talk of religion in cheap, sentimental words, leaning on the scriptures. God speaks here and speaks here alone. Driven by desire for pleasure and power, caught up in ritual, they strive to gain heaven. But rebirth is the only result of their striving. The scriptures dwell in duality. Be beyond all opposites, Arjuna, anchored in the real and free from all thoughts of wealth and comfort. As unnecessary as a well is to a village on the banks of a river, so unnecessary are all scriptures to someone who has seen the truth. It's very profound stuff. You have a right to your actions, but never to your actions' fruits. And this is exactly what we've been talking about. We were talking about this last week. This was Pema Chodron's Buddhist spirit. Remember, Buddhism is a reaction against Hinduism. This is like the core where all of these teachings come from. Act for the action's sake, and do not be attached to inaction. Self-possessed, resolute, act without any thought of results, open to success or failure. This equanimity is yoga. The wise man lets go of all results, whether good or bad, and is focused on the action alone. Yoga is skill in action. This is where the term skillful means comes from. Right? This is mindfulness, meditation. The wise man lets go of all results, whether good or bad, and is focused on the action alone. Yoga is skill in actions. The wise man whose insight is firm, relinquishing the fruits of action, is freed from the bondage of rebirth and attains the place beyond sorrow. Now again, we could give a damn about reincarnation and rebirth. It's a metaphor. The wise man or woman whose insight is firm, relinquishing the fruits of action, is freed from the bondage of suffering. Forget rebirth. We're freed from the bondage of suffering. And we attain the place beyond sorrow, which is that place of equanimity where we're not caught up in our old friend duality. When your understanding has passed beyond the thicket of delusion, there is nothing you need to learn from even the most sacred scripture. Indifferent to scriptures, and remember, what does he mean? He's talking about any belief system. Because any belief system, any system that thinks it knows, doesn't know, right? Once we try to pin it down into a closed system, it's the truth leaves. The truth leaves the room when we try to contain it. Indifferent to scriptures, your mind stands by itself, unmoving, absorbed in deep meditation. This is the essence of yoga. You know, this is what we want. We know so many people in our lives who get caught up in all kinds of belief systems. And belief systems do give us the illusion of safety, comfort, order, meaning, but that's not really what this is. You know, this reality with a capital R is the mystery. And it will not be known. It can't be known by our limited minds. We can only surrender into it and realize that there's really no separation between us and this thing called the mystery, right? Consciousness. The body is a wonderful thing. But it's just the wrapper for this energy that is what we really are, right? That pervades us. That's the mystery. And again, we can't get this when we're all just sort of functioning in our daily life world. Because we need so much of our so-called character structures in order to function in a character structure given world. And the challenge for all of us is the process of waking up and bringing our awakening awareness into this daily life reality that we all have to function in, where we're mostly hanging around with people who are sound asleep, right? Or as Gurdjieff said, dead men walking, right? A little extreme, but there it is. Indifferent to scriptures, and again, you can reframe that a bit, just indifferent to any belief system that creates the illusion of meaning, Your mind stands by itself, unmoving, absorbed in deep meditation. This is the essence of yoga. And remember, what is yoga but union with the so-called self, union with that pulsation of pure scintillating consciousness. Arjuna said, how would you describe the man or woman whose wisdom is steadfast, Krishna? How does the wise man speak? How does he sit, stand, walk? And here comes the teaching on shtita prajna. When a man gives up all desires, when a man gives up all desires that emerge from the mind, right? There's your story maker, right? When a mind gives up all desires that emerge from the mind and rests contented in the self, by the self, he is called a man of firm wisdom. And again, think about it. Desire is what sets up the whole, how shall we call it? The whole play of opposites, right? We were talking about this last week. Desire is what gets us caught in that seesaw, right? Of seeking pleasure and avoiding pain, right? Desire is what pulls us out of ourself and tricks us into thinking that something outside of us might actually make us happy or whole, right? How would you describe the man? When a man gives up all desires that emerge from the mind and rests contented in the self by the self, he is called a man of firm wisdom. He whose mind is untroubled by any misfortune, whose craving for pleasures has disappeared, he who is free from greed, fear, anger, who is unattached to all things, who neither grieves nor rejoices if good or if bad things happen, that man is a man of firm wisdom. He whose mind is untroubled by any misfortune, whose craving for pleasures has disappeared, who is free from greed, fear, and anger, who is unattached to all things, who neither grieves nor rejoices if good or bad things happen, that man is a man of firm wisdom. And you know, we can read this and it's like, oh yeah, great. Not in this lifetime, thank you very much. You know, how? How do I do that? And I think the answer is practice. You know, I think the answer is just play with the possibility. You know, the next time a misfortune occurs, and it surely will, it can be a little misfortune, like you're at the grocery store and you have to be somewhere at 2:30, and it's 1:45, and the line is ridiculously long, and there's no way you're going to be on time. That's enough of a misfortune, right, in our modern life. So we can practice not allowing all of the emotional material that will be triggered to arise, right? We can practice just staying steady with everything that is arising, but not allowing ourselves to, in the yogic terminology, identify, right? So if there's anxiety arising, if there's annoyance arising, whatever it is, we can simply stay present with that, feel it, give it its 90-second workout, and then go back to breathing, right? This is mindfulness practice. And this is how we cultivate steady wisdom, right? It's like so many opportunities in life. This is what we need to do. And we need to practice non-attachment to happiness as much as we need to practice non-attachment to trouble. Yeah. And we need to just keep practicing. And we'll fall over 100 times, if not 1,000. And then we'll stand up again and try again. You know, we have so many agendas for ourselves. And the agendas just create more suffering, right? The agenda is another form of desire, right? I want to be something I think I'm supposed to be. It's a story. Whereas when we simply are whatever we are in that moment, you know this, we've been talking about this for years, and everybody talks about this because this is the whole deal. So back to the miracle of descent. when we're in a descent time, if we really allow ourselves to surrender into being, well, in the Anana story, it's great, literally hung from the meat hook in the underworld, we are like pulverized, you know, and we'll go into these states of complete, how can I say, again, if it's a depression, we'll be in despair. If it's an illness, we'll just be completely flattened. But in that descent, the possibility of truth is very, it's right there. It's right there because there's no illusion of fabulous, right? We're just like, you know, I've been dead. And it's been complex. But throughout, you know, there's just been this sense of, this is something I need to be going through, and this is something I need to give myself over to, even though my conscious mind is annoyed by the whole thing. And, you know, if you think of so many of the mythical stories that we've talked about over the years, you know, like, think of Shiva, think of when Ganesha is born, and how Ganesha, who really is a paradigm or an archetype of the new, sort of the evolved human being, you know, sort of the next evolution of human sort of human consciousness and our instinctual nature being completely unified, and that, you know, Shiva has to go through this terrible despair in order to receive the head of Ganesha that will give birth to this new incarnation. It's like we have to go through these periods. Well, in yoga, another one of the yogic words is burning. We can call it death and rebirth cycles. We have to go down, and we have to allow ourselves to be, again, beaten to that pulp in the underworld so that we come back up again, closer to the possibility of steady wisdom. Yeah, is this, am I making sense here? Kind of free associating all over the place. So just kind of take all that in. This is why I wanted to chant Nirvana Mantra, you know, that's such a fierce Kali sword mantra. And, you know, again, it's a mantra that is so pervaded by the power of cutting away the ties that bind us. And, you know, that's another way to say it. If you think of the descent of Inanna, so as she descends through the seven gates, and she has to remove another article of clothing or jewelry at each gate, you know, each of those articles of clothing, that's part of our attachment, right? That's what it represents. And so the whole idea of coming into the presence of our own self in that state of naked and bowed low, that's where the possibility of steady wisdom is really pulsating. Sthita prajna, what he's calling firm wisdom. You know, in the morning when I meditate, and then when I'm finished meditating, I'll often just sort of collapse over into a full pranama on the floor. And it feels so wonderful. It's just, you know, it's just, even if you just go into child's pose in a yoga class, to just get the head down, to get the forehead down on the floor and stretch a little bit into that. For me, it's one of the most wonderful, wonderful poses that I find myself in. And so you might, you know, take this into your life as you move through this week. I hope that as I move back into my more active life, and this is the really beginning of that this week as I am going back to the city this week, it's like to bring the experience of naked and bowed low back into the above world. One of Muktananda's teachings, you know, welcome everyone with love. You know, what is that? The whole thing in India, you know, when everybody says namaste, namaste, you know, the guy, welcome the God in you. It's like, We want to live in that state of surrender. We want to live in that state of naked awareness. We don't want all the ego structures. We don't want the story maker. We don't want all that stuff to taint our connection to this world. So you might just kind of, we might all take that into our life this week and see if we can just practice bringing, again, taking the wisdom of the underworld, taking the wisdom of naked and bowed low, which again, naked and bowed low is the power, it's the Shakti that allows steady wisdom to arise.